Welcome to Freeform Radio on the Freeform Network. You can follow us on X at FFR Podcast. Send your questions and suggestions to ffnquestions@gmail.com or send comments, whatever, if you want us to review something, commercials, advertising, send it all there. And so the gang's all back together. We got Danny.
Yes, sir. Man, it's supposed to be in the 40s, but man, that wind chill is brutal, man. It's cold outside.
It's sunny but chilly, yes. And we got Noel.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Just trying to stay warm here.
And we got It's All Good Andy with spring around, just around the corner. In the Midwest, everybody got cabin fever. Everybody's anxious to get out. But we want to thank you guys for listening. And we're going to jump right into it. Noel's been pretty busy. Looks like he's been gaming. I see he beat us a game. One of many Final Fantasies. I see the numbers pretty high. I didn't know it went this high. What's going on with Final? It looks Final Fantasy 16. I don't know that they had that many sequels.
Yeah, man. It's been a long time in the making. Like the franchise or the series of games have started since way back in the original. I think Super Nintendo was where it first started.
Was it Nintendo? I thought it was like PlayStation 1.
Was it? I could have sworn there was a Final Fantasy on Super Nintendo.
Yeah, but I think it did start off on Nintendo, and then it went off to PlayStation with Final Fantasy VII, I want to say.
Holy shit. Okay. Yeah.
But, 16 is like the newest one, or one of the newest ones, because now they're remaking 7, and then they have like a sequel to the remake of 7. So, but 16 is like, I guess, since it's the highest number of the games right now. And yeah, I mean, anyway, just ended up beating it finally. It took maybe about 2 solid weeks of playing it. I don't have as much time to play, so I'll play like an hour here, an hour there. On the weekend, I'll have maybe, 5 hours or something like that. Overall, it's like a 40-plus hour game if you really go and explore every area and try to level up and do as much as you can with it and all the side quests and all that. It was a really fun game, entertaining. The story, I know I talked about it in a previous episode, but the story is really what, makes it worthwhile for this game. The combat's, fluid and easy to use. It's not complicated. It's not hard. It's not turn-based. It's action-oriented. So you're consistently just going up to monsters, and either you could pass them up, you could just skip them, or you could actually stop and fight each monster you come across. But that was one of the things that turned me off about the previous Final Fantasies, is that it was turn-based. And every time you go up to a new enemy, as you're walking through the world and you're exploring, every time you see an enemy, you have to fight them. It's like an instance, like it starts like a trigger, like a fight scene. But this is more fluid, where you're just running through whatever you want to stop and fight. You stop and fight, or you keep on moving. And the story and the quests and everything you do, it's all tied together. It helps build a world, so you're getting to know these characters, you're getting to know the people that they're around, the different villages and towns, and the stuff that goes on in those towns. You're doing side quests that connect to other towns and connect other people together, and it makes it feel like a living world. And the story overall is one that's really entertaining, and I'm not going to spoil it. I really do think the story is the main attraction, so I don't want to really spoil that. I know Daniel might get in, a few other of our listeners might be interested in it too, so I'm not going to spoil it. Overall, I'd give it an 8 out of 10. It was very fun playing it. There is a DLC for it, and there's a mode called New Game Plus, and with New Game Plus, you get a harder difficulty option, which is called Final Fantasy mode. It'll allow you to level up to 100, whereas the first playthrough, it's like, I think the cap is 55. If I remember right, I made it to like 50 or 51. So I didn't quite max out my level, which I didn't really need to. That's not going to make too much of a difference. I already got all the abilities I needed. I got all the items I needed. I was good to go. So
so what, real quick, what console is it on? Or is this like a Steam thing?
So this is on PS5 and... Okay. for now. I don't know if they I don't think they have it on Steam or PC, but they are slowly but surely bringing over all these games to PC. I know Final Fantasy VII Remake, I think, is on PC now, but then the sequel to Final Fantasy VII Remake, which I think is called like Rebirth or something like that, that
yeah, one's on PS5. Right.
Yeah. So, yeah, Final Fantasy 16 right now, I think, is PS5 only.
Is this the franchise that had a movie back in the day? Like an animated movie?
Yeah.
Went to theaters, right?
I think it was called Advent Child, if I remember right.
Yeah, I think it's had two movies or so. Yeah, like animated movies. But yeah, 16 is one of those that, like I mentioned before when you brought it up last week, it's one of those that I'm interested in, but I was just too intimidated, but the more and more you talk about it, I'm thinking this might be something cool to try out. I tried playing 7, the remake that they made like 4 years ago, 3-4 years ago. But I didn't really dig it as much as the original. So I know part 2 just came out like a week or two ago of part 7, you know, part 7.2 or whatever they're calling it, Rebirth, I think you said. I'm not that excited to jump into that one since I didn't really dig the first one. So, but I know Final Fantasy, I did get into it for a while, and I beat 7, or at least the original. And then I beat X, I think, was the next one that I beat. And then after that, I don't think I've played any more Final Fantasy.
Yeah, no, I honestly, this is like one of the first ones I completed, like, fully. All the other ones I've only played a handful of times, and just for a little bit. So, because I wasn't really into turn-based, so, you know, this is one of the first ones that I think it was a good one to try it out on. It definitely, left a good impression on me, so I'm excited for the other ones. Final Fantasy VII Remake, I heard, is similar to 16 in the sense that it's more action-based and less turn, not even turn-based, so I'm excited to try that next. But yeah, I think you'd like 16, Daniel. I think it's a simple mechanic in terms of like the gameplay, and then everything else is just a story. And if you're looking for a world to be built, that's the game for you, man. So hopefully you like it. And yeah, another thing I was doing recently, yesterday, I actually went to see Dune Part 2 in the theaters. Damn. I don't know if, did you guys ever get into Dune, or do you know about
it? I love the Dune. I've never read the books, but I watched the Dune, the 80s, because there's such a background to that movie. There's all these cuts. It was directed by David Lynch. And then I watched the sci-fi miniseries. There was the original Dune, and then they made the sequel, The Children of Dune, or something like that, which I thought were decent with that type of budget, like late 90s CGI. And when I heard that they remade Dune, I actually got the 4K Blu-ray disc. I just haven't had time to watch it because it's almost, what, 2 hours and 45 minute movie. Mm-hmm. And it got like decent reviews, and I've heard nothing but great things about Dune 2. I'm interested to hear what you think of it.
Yeah, you know, I wasn't like the biggest Dune fan or anything, but I did see the original, I think in the 80s. I think it had the guy from Twin Peaks, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Picard. It did have decent actors, a lot of British actors.
Yeah. I remember, I liked the style. It was a cool movie with like just weird characters, man. Mm-hmm. And then the Harkonnen, it's like the flying floating guy, that guy was creepy as hell in the movie.
Yeah.
But you know, going to this new Dune, the budget is like, it's there, man. The production value, you could totally see they threw a lot of money at this. The first one, it's kind of like a build-up, so you don't get as much. It's kind of like Lord of the Rings, where the first movie, The Fellowship, while it's still good and everything, it's not the same as Lord of the Rings Two Towers and the sequel. You know, the sequel's where the bread and butter is there, because that's mm-hmm. the fighting and all that. But you kind of need to build it up, and so that's where the first one is. It's still really good, don't get me wrong, but part two is it's kind of like the payoff because it builds everything up, and then they finally start, you know, progressing in the story and fighting and all that, you know. So I'm not going to spoil anything for those that actually want to watch it, but I would probably give it like an 8 out of 10, maybe more like 7.8 out of 10. It's not perfect, but it's very entertaining for what I wanted, and I only paid $7 for the ticket. I got my money's worth, I feel. I sat in the very far back in the theater, and I do that on purpose because it's a smaller room. It's not one of the biggest rooms, so you're still close to the screen, even if you're far back. Plus, you're right by the speakers, and that's what I wanted because you feel the reverberations. And that in this movie series, the music and the orchestra and the horn is where it drives home, bro. Like, every time you'd hear, like, the music kick in with the horn, and it's like a low brrrr, and you feel that, and you feel like everything that's going on and the way the music cuts into it and the way it like, you know, fuses together with the whole story and makes you feel like, I don't know, like you're there, I guess. Like it really was an escape. Like it was a good, captivating movie. The acting is on point, man. Like they had some really great actors in it and a lot of big names. You know, I can mention a few. You got Rebecca Ferguson, you got Josh Brolin, you know, you got the main guy, Timothy Chalamet, you got Zendaya in there. And there's more and more and more, man. It's a big cast, and I was really surprised to see that, like, I'm like, man, they must have spent like $500 million in this movie because all the major actors in it. And in this point in the story, I'm not going to spoil anything, but it's like where it all kicks off, all the battles. So there's a lot of stuff going on, and it's really exciting. If you like the Dune movies, I think you're going to like part two even more than the first.
Yeah. How do you compare it to part one? Because I heard part one is a little slow and part two is a lot more action.
I would say part two is the better of the two so far. It definitely kicks into high gear. And it's like the turbo kicked in, you know, so it really goes all in. And there still feels like there's going to be another one. Like it's like a 90% chance there's going to be a third. But yeah, you are right, Andy. It's a longer movie. But I had some time to kill. I was going to visit my cousin and their family yesterday, and I didn't want to get there too early, so I wanted to kill some time. And there's a movie theater right across from their house. So I'm like, let me go see Dune for like 3 hours and then head up to the party. But yeah, so, it's like a 2:45, I think is what it is.
I think a movie that long. Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you, if it's long too, like the first one and the other. I'm an old man. I can't hold my piss longer than 2 hours anymore. So I would have to go to the bathroom, and that's my only other thing where I'm like, fuck, when movies are so long now, over 2 hours, it challenges my bladder.
You know, I have a strategy for that. Immediately when I get to the theater, I take a nice good piss. And then you go and you get like some nachos or something salty, because that will keep you from having to take a piss right away. But then like maybe midway through the movie, take a couple sips of water and have that water bottle finish just as you finish the movie. Then you can go take another piss and you're good. It's my strategy. Yeah.
Damn, man. That's some old man problems, man. I don't know any of these problems. You guys
to me, it started with the Lord of the Rings, the second movie. Man, I had to take a fucking piss and I couldn't hold it. And I remember running out of there. I think I missed like three or four minutes of the movie, and I fucking felt like I missed like a whole fucking part of the movie and shit. And then when I released it on DVD, I remember watching it. Oh, this is what I missed. Like, I didn't miss anything.
Yeah, no, you know, in this one, you'd have time to take a break. You'd have the time to go and take a piss and come back and not really miss too much, because there are moments where it's just kind of enjoying the atmosphere. You know what I mean? It's not like necessarily every second is progressing the story. Sometimes it's like a scenic scene. Like you're just looking at the dunes and it's, you know, the music's going and you just see them like training or walking or whatever. But there is like definitely plot progression in the movie, but because it's like such a long movie, not every second is going to be something you're going to miss. So yeah, that'll be good. If you do end up seeing it in theaters, you know, feel confident that you'll be all right if you go take a little pee break and shit. So, but yeah, that's all I really got for this week, man. That's catching me up here. Shifting over here to Daniel. Looks like you watched, what is this, a movie called Barbarian?
Yeah, I thought it was one that you hit me up on. That scary movie where the chick that she does like an Airbnb booking for a room or, you know, like the house for the day. And it ends up getting double booked. Is that yes. Not a movie you saw?
Yes, it is. It took me a second to remember because there's two movies called Barbarian, and I thought you were talking about a different one. So, yeah, no, I did see this one with Justin Long. Yep. Okay. I just had a little Google there. It all comes back to me. I've seen so many movies, man. It's just.
Yeah. For sure. I ended up seeing it on whatever streaming site. I can't even remember what site it was on. I think it was Hulu or something. And I'm like, yeah, you know, what the heck, man? Let me try to watch it. I think Noel spoke highly of it. So try to watch it. I got to say, it was nothing that I was expecting. So I kind of take myself as being one of those guys that can figure out movies fairly quickly. I don't know if I am or not, but that's how I perceive myself.
I don't think you are.
Yeah, probably not. But as I'm watching it, I'm trying to figure it out. I'm like, is it this? Is it that? And the basic gist, like I mentioned, there's this lady, she Airbnbs a booking. It's in Detroit, so it's in kind of like a sketchy neighborhood, and it ends up being that there's a guy that's already at the house, and he's just like, well, I booked it too with this app, and she's like, well, I booked it with this app. And so it's the whole, what do? They're both booked to the same place. The guy's there before her, he's trying to be a gentleman, and the whole thing takes off from there. And then the horror ensues as it's just really creepy in that house. There's some back lore to people that have lived there before, the whole neighborhood being in Detroit, and I can't remember if it was specifically Michigan or what area of Detroit, but they kind of gave the perception that the whole neighborhood is on the decline. And that there's people coming in, buying some homes and trying to remodel them and trying to make them Airbnbs and whatnot. So this is one of those houses. And it was really freaky, man. It was a really freaky story. Really cool, different plot. Didn't really think it was going to go down this way. The ending was okay. I kind of dug the ending. Sometimes you start building up this plot and you start really feeling like, wow, this is going to be something different and good. And then it just kind of falls down at the end. But it was okay. It was okay at the end. And I got to say, for people that like horror, this is probably a good one to watch. Definitely different. A lot of the audio cues kind of help move the movie and give a sense of, you know, like fright, and it was pretty good. Now that it's coming back to you, Noel, do you remember it? Did you like it? I kind of remember you liked it.
Yeah. No, it took me a second, but it came back to me, and the atmosphere, especially when they're like underground and they're on, you know, they find this like weird entranceway and they're like, what the hell is this? Like, who built this? And there's moments where it's like, kind of foolish. You're like, I wouldn't do this. Like, you know, who the hell would make this choice or make this decision? But, you know, obviously it's a movie. They have to make bad choices to keep the movie going. Otherwise, oh, they call the cops and they're all good now. You know what I mean? But so they do make bad choices, but it makes it worthwhile when you get to that point where you, man, like, I don't want to spoil anything for those that want to watch it, but
right.
There's a lot of creepy stuff that goes on, man. It's just
for sure, man. No, and I totally dig what you're saying, because when the actual homeowner gets there and he starts measuring stuff with the tape measure, I'm like, dude, what are you doing, man? I'm like, do you get like a sense of what's going on? I'm like, I wouldn't start measuring square footage at this house right now, but like, whatever, man. But yeah, man, pretty good movie. I watched it a few weeks ago and really dug it. Another one that I watched because of you as well, but this one I actually just watched it yesterday, is Talk to Me.
Oh, snap. Okay.
Yeah, I watched Talk to Me, and dude, that one was really good, man. I really dug it. Alana had asked me to download a few movies for her that she wanted, so we're kind of flipping through my hard drive looking to see what we got in there. And I ran across the title, and I actually thought it was one of Alana's movies. And, you know, I don't know about you guys. As a couple watching, I try to usually pick one that I know I'm going to dig, and then I usually try to pick one that's, like, more aimed towards her. So it was, like, her turn for, like a chick movie or something. Mm-hmm. So when I got to it and we start playing it, even like 20 minutes into it, once I started noticing that it's a horror movie, I paused it, and I'm like, I thought this was one of your movies, but I guess it's one of mine. But, and she's like, no, it's pretty good so far, so let's see what's going on. So we finished watching it, and dude, man, it was really, really freaky. it was very it's in Australia, which I didn't know they drove on the opposite side of the street as well. I know Australia is one of, like, the publishers. I'm not really sure if it's in Australia, the movie location. But either way, it's really, really, like, modern filmography of it. It's done in a way that you could tell that it's real modern, young cast, doing young teenager stuff. But it's very well done. It almost looks like it could have been shot on an iPhone kind of thing, but in a good way, where it's like good quality, very good positions of cameras, and it was really good. I really dug it. It got me into similar to Barbarian, where I didn't know where it was going up until the end. I dug the ending, but I kind of didn't at the same time. I didn't really dig how the main protagonist kind of, you know, went to the end the way she did. I didn't really understand that, but it was a dire moment, and it was pretty cool, man. I really dug it. I'm glad I watched it. Do you remember this one, Noah?
Oh yeah, dude. Like, this is one of my favorite movies of that year, man. 2022. I saw it in theaters, and then I enjoyed it so much, I ended up buying the actual, it's a 4K limited edition, like, special edition version of it. It's got, like, this big, like, boxy box set of it, and it's got, like, cards and, like, other stuff to go along with just the movie. And, man, this was a really good one. Like, really creepy. Right. It like, delves into, like, kind of, like, demon possession. And that's essentially what it is, I guess. And it was just creepy overall, man. So much, like, blood and gore that you didn't think was going to be there.
Man, yeah, for sure. It was really, really good. I even asked Alana after a few, when I paused it and realized that it wasn't her movie. I asked her, I'm like, would you be doing any of this stuff? And she's like, hell no, man. If I saw that shit going on, I would have been like, I'm outies. I'm going to go chill over here. So it was one of those things where you have to be really an adventurous person to even do this kind of stuff. And I guess I'm kind of being vague with the plot, but it's kind of like a Ouija board kind of thing where they're trying to contact spirits, and they're using this device to speak to the spirits. And it's kind of like a Ouija board esque kind of thing. And Alana's just like, there's no way in hell I'm even doing stuff like that. So yeah, it's one of those things where I can see myself maybe doing it as I was younger, just because I was a little more adventurous. I wanted to be part of the conversation with the rest of the crew. So I might have done it, but yeah, it would have definitely freaked me out with seeing other people do it and have to do it myself. So I don't think I would do it. Or maybe I would, I don't know. It'd be kind of a tough one to do.
Yeah, no, the acting was good too. And I was surprised, you know, because some of these people were, like, relatively new. And you are right, it was in Australia. So it's like some new Australian actors that, you know, got to show off their skills. And for a horror movie, dude, I'm looking it up right now, 7.1 out of over 100,000 reviews, 7.1 out of 10 for a horror movie is phenomenal, man.
Yeah, yeah, I gotta say it was probably towards the top, you know, for sure. Either one of these, did you see them, Andy, Barbarian or Talk to Me?
Nah, man, I don't really watch horror. I think the last horror movie I watched was it, the new one.
Oh, the It movie?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Horror movies, I kind of dig it. I usually try to reserve it more towards the Halloween time period. But if a good horror movie comes out and I hear Noel kind of talk it up, I definitely put it on my to-view list. And these are two that I definitely watch per Noel's recommendations. And no, can't go wrong with these two. Pretty good movies. Another one that I watched, it was towards the end of Christmas, I think it was around New Year's, was I saw A Christmas Story Christmas. Now, maybe you saw this one, Andy.
The sequel with Ralphie?
Yeah, the sequel that they did.
I didn't see it. I know there was a lot of hype around it, but I didn't see it. What do you think?
Yeah, I ended up checking it out. A lot of nostalgia. They play up the nostalgia, play up a lot of the old scenes. They do like little flashbacks. So they definitely tie it into the first one. And it does continue the story. I just thought it was a little campy at times, where it's a little over the top, kind of ridiculous stunts, kind of a little even past Home Alone kind of stunts. But either way, I thought it was a good movie. I really dig A Christmas Story, the first one with Ralphie. So I was really, really trying to like this second one. I guess if I wasn't a Christmas Story fan, I'd probably grade it lower. It'd probably be a 5 or something. But being a Christmas Story fan, I'd probably go 7 with it. But it was a good movie either way. I kind of dug it. I think if you never saw the first one, you probably wouldn't like it as much. But definitely a good movie as a continuing.
Yeah, it was released this year. I do want to check it out. But you know they made... there's a sequel to Christmas Story when they made a direct-to-home video a couple years back where Ralphie's a teenager. Did you ever hear or see that one?
I did hear about that, and I think it has... Doesn't it have the guy from Christmas Vacation?
No, it has the guy from Home Alone, one of the bandits or something.
Yeah, yeah, that's the guy I was. That's the guy I was trying to pick.
Yes.
But yeah, I was thinking the Christmas Story guy, the Trailer Park guy. But no, you're right. It is the Home Alone guy. But yeah, I heard that it wasn't that great, and it was loosely tied to A Christmas Story, but it wasn't really. I don't know if it was like canon, a sequel for it. But yeah, no, I never seen that one. But this one, it definitely is a sequel. To the movie because it follows right after the first one.
There's just real quick getting into the Christmas story. There are books because I think it was a story. There is a movie they made in the 80s where they do a summer like story one, but it's like nobody heard of it and it didn't do too well. And it has the same narrator and all that. From my understanding, but it's never been released on DVD. It's only on VHS, and it's like highly sought. And then I think there's another one floating around. I can't really remember, but I know there's a summer one that was made in like the late 80s.
Yeah, this one, I think it's a good watch, but definitely not top tier Home Alone, you know, Die Hard, like with all the rest of the pantheon of Christmas movies. But yeah, it was okay. It was okay to watch. Definitely pulled down the nostalgia strings.
But does the story flow then, or is it just a bunch of like, oh, you remember this guy, you remember that guy, remember this kid, like, and everybody's just a grown up? Is that what it is?
I mean, Ralphie becomes a writer, so he's a writer, like a book writer. Or I think even like just like a freelancer article guy for like Newsweek or whatever. But He has a story that he's been trying to sell and pitch, and he's just waiting for like the break. So he keeps fighting it. And he has a reason to go back to his old house, his old stomping ground. And that's when he runs into all the old characters, because I guess they stayed at home and didn't move out of the town where he moved on to the big city or whatever. So now he's moved back to kind of be around the family. And that's when all the shenanigans really kick off. So it does kind of flow a little bit, but a lot of it is circumstances to bring in a character, bring in the guy that used to bully him, bring in the guy that stuck his tongue on the pole, and you know, like that, like bring these characters into the life. So it's okay. It's definitely, maybe I'm not selling it as good, but it's not that great of a movie either. So I don't want to overhype it. People watch it and be like, oh, this is a shitty movie, but half decent. Okay. Not too bad. But, Andy, speaking of not too bad, let us know how this, Sasquatch soap, man, is that okay? Does it suck? To me, that price point, man, it better be on point, man.
So I got, Dr. or Sasquatch soap or whatever. I got it as a gift for my birthday a couple years back, but I already had a lot of body washes and stuff. So once I ran through that, I started using the Dr. Squatch ones, and to my surprise, I really liked it. The problem is the scents are good. The quality has a nice strong smell. They have a bunch of different scents. The issue for me, there's two issues. One is the price point, like you said, and two is they kind of go fast. I mean, I think I go through a bar of soap maybe in 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks at most. I shower every day, and like that's my only knock on it. On top of the price point. Hence, that's why when you go to the website, they claim to give you the best deal. They do, but you got to be like subscribed, like a subscription thing. Then you got to buy like all this fucking soap. And that's my only thing on it. And but they have all special edition scents and a lot of licensed properties. They have like shaving stuff now. They have shampoos. To me, I'm just sticking to the soap, the bar soap, which I like I said. And I do see the best price right now is Walmart, but they only got like 4 or 5 cents. And usually they, when you go look for them there, they're pretty much sold out. I don't know if you guys had a chance to try them at all, or you've been gifted any. I mean, it's definitely above like Irish Spring, Zest, or a Dove in my eyes. Have you guys tried those like natural oils and all this shit soaps?
So the soap I use right now is because I've been switching, trying to find the best one, and I use it's called CeraVe, and it's like a hypoallergenic one because I have sensitive skin, so I can't really deal with fragrances and stuff. So when the Dr. Squatch came out with all their fragrances, I was like, it might just cause a reaction to me. So I didn't even really pay it much attention, but I don't know. I'm hearing good things. I guess it's more natural. So I'm considering trying one out and see how it goes.
Yeah, try it out, man. Like I said, they're good. And they have all different, they have ones for scrubs, like really thick, and then like smooth ones and stuff like that. But again, to me, like I said, that you go through them pretty fast. So hence, the price point. Have you tried them at all, Danny, or have you been gifted any? Because I doubt you're gonna pay like $5 plus a bar of soap.
Hell no, man. this thing is way too expensive, way too crazy. I'm sure they're probably really smell good and they're good, but I'm usually more of a liquid soap kind of guy. Mm-hmm. I can't recall when was the last time I used bar soap, other than maybe when I went camping last, you know, maybe took a bar of soap and then just left it there, or bought a cheap one at the dollar store just to wash myself when I'm camping.
Yeah, that's what I said. I got gift sets, soaps like Axe and Old Spice and Everyman, whatever ones. And they're all great, and the price point's pretty good. The problem, like I said, this the Squatch, I'm like at this dilemma. So I went and bought a couple more. And I actually, my bar, I just, it crapped out. I finally used it all up. And I went to my bag. I have only three left that I bought at Walmart. And I'm just like, fuck, I just bought these like a couple weeks ago. So now I'm like, so I went on this rabbit hole of trying to search to find alternative soaps and all that. And there's a shitload of them. But the price point, you're not really saving much. Rarely do you find them under $5. And like they're all like five and change, a little bit cheaper than the Squatch ones. But I don't know if I'm hesitant not to try them because there's so many like brands. And then so once you search, you know, your Facebook profile gets all the fucking soaps that are out there. and I get a ton of them, and I'm just like, I don't know. I might just go back to body wash and go from there. But I got to see once I run out of this what I'm going to do. But let me know what you guys think. Do you like those natural soaps and like Squatch and Dapper Yankee and all this goofy shit? Let us know at ffnquestions@gmail.com what you guys think about that. The only other thing I want to talk about is some football. It's the officially the off season where you could trade people and sign people. It's all you could trade people right now, but the free agent is coming up, and then the draft's coming up next month in April, and the Bears have the number one pick, and there's all this reporting back and forth. But they're going to trade Justin Fields. They're going to trade the number one pick. And to this point, I'm like, I'm getting kind of fucking sick of it. I wish they would just say what the fuck they're going to. Well, I know why they're not saying it, but now, again, the rumors are heating up that they're going to trade Justin Fields for. They're not going to get the pick they want, so they're asking for like a second or third rounder plus somebody from a team. And the team that keeps coming up right now is the Steelers. Because initially there was a report a couple weeks back that he's going to Atlanta. So who fucking knows? And then there's all this drama surrounding the number one guy, Caleb Williams, and all his asking, and he's being weird. And he's just a headache to me. He's like a drama, but I don't drama queen, but I hope he. There's reports coming out that the Bears are going to draft him. Couple people have said that from these insiders, so that means they're going to trade Fields. That's what it sounds like. But there was a report like a month ago they were going to trade him before the combine. That didn't happen, and then there was reports that the Bears might trade that they're getting crazy offers for the number one pick from Washington and other teams, and like should they stick with Fields and get all these draft picks? So. To this point, I'm like, I'm fucking sick of it. I think they're going to draft Caleb Williams. A lot of people have been asking me at work and other players, like, what do you think they're going to do? Should they trade Fields? I think they're going to just trade Fields because Poles didn't draft him. And what you see he's doing to the team, he's signing people that he wants and paying the people he drafted. And he is letting all the old, like Eddie Jackson, he's letting a lot of old people go. So what do you think, Dan, and Noel, do you think? I mean, I don't know how much you've been looking into it. The Bears going to draft the guy from USC, or are they going to trade Justin or stick it out with Fields? What are your thoughts?
I think Williams is too much of a pain in the ass. He's he's a drama queen just waiting to come, and he's going to be like a Cam Newton style where it's just a pain in the ass for the team. Drama queen. To me, I'd rather stay with Fields. I think he's got a lot of promise. I think you just got to build a couple weapons around him, build that offensive line, give him another receiver. And I think
the Bears traded for an online guy this week.
Right. Yeah. They picked him up. The
guy from Buffalo. Yeah. They traded a fifth rounder. So they are doing that, but I think they're building up for Caleb. Williams. So, yeah, I mean, would you prefer, so do you prefer them just riding it out with Fields and then just draft somebody else that and then the next year or two?
Yeah, to me, Fields is the future. You keep Fields, you build around him. Pittsburgh, I know they were on the docket, but they just picked up Trubisky. Not that Trubisky's going to be, or not the Pittsburgh, I'm sorry, Buffalo. Buffalo picked up Trubisky, and Trubisky left Pittsburgh, so maybe Pittsburgh does fit into to the scenario.
Yeah, and then they didn't like Pickett, the kid they drafted a couple years ago. They were hoping that was going to be the future, and it looks like they're giving up on him if they're going to trade for Fields.
Yeah, man. Unfortunately, I'm out of the loop with the football stuff. It's been years, man, since I, you know, took interest in it. I think roughly the last time that I watched it was around the time where they were at the Super Bowl with the Colts. And just since then, I don't know, man. It hasn't been pretty, dude. Well,
one of the guys that from that Super Bowl team just got into the Hall of Fame this year. That's how long that's been. Devin Hester just got elected to the Hall of Fame
from
the Bears' last Super Bowl.
He should have been there a long time ago. That guy deserved it. That was a wild year, and he was it was a fun, entertaining time. Even if they didn't win, it was just really good gameplay. And like, unfortunately, there's been a lot of rough years since then, and it's just I haven't had the interest anymore.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, everybody has their thoughts. A lot of people have the same concerns that Danny has and I have with the drama. And this past year, his first year in USC, he was like amazing. He won the Heisman Trophy, which is like the best college football player, the best football player in college. And then this year, past year, he started off good, and then shit started happening. He was doing commercials for Dr. Pepper, and then they started losing games, and then towards the down the road, Notre Dame whooped his ass at South Bend, and then they lost to a team, I think Washington or Utah, I forget which one. His mom was on the stands. He ran over there and jumped on the edge of the railing and started crying. I was just like, what the hell's going on? And like, I think the pressure got to him. And I don't know. I didn't like that. And it's getting to a point where I think they're going to draft him and trade Fields. I think Foles, the GM of the Bears, didn't draft him. So he's like, I'm not dealing with this shit. And he's gonna trade it, but I think he found out he's not gonna get what he wants.
Yeah, I think you're right. If I had to guess, Poles is gonna pick up Williams, but I think it's the wrong play. I think Fields is the way you move. Williams, he might be great, but I don't know. I don't know if it'd be worth dealing with that Cam Newton type of attitude, Aaron Rodgers type of attitude. There's a lot of people, when Aaron Rodgers was a free agent, they didn't want him to come to the Bears because of the attitude. So it doesn't sound like Chicago's willing to even put up with stuff like that. So why would you put it up with Williams?
Well, if he takes you to division wins, playoffs, and Super Bowl wins, I'll deal with it. And maybe like in 10 years, I'll be like, we'll be sick of this guy when they're losing. Hopefully, you know, we have that. But Mahomes, like, you know, he's in his prime right now, and he has all his BS with his wife and his brother, and, you know, his brother doing those stupid dances, and his wife's always on social media doing stupid shit. But they keep winning, and they won back-to-back Super Bowls. I mean, they're in their dynasty right now. I think Kansas City tolerates it. I'm pretty sure Chicago can tolerate that nonsense. I think we'll be all right. I think Fields is just, me personally, he's done in Chicago. There, he's not He's an exceptional athlete. I don't know if he's a in college he was a great quarterback, but here it's just not working. I don't know if it's the scheme or what, or the system they made him run. And then it came out to it's like the same system they run up at in Green Bay. And you look at Love up there, and he just got extended. Like, he got more money after one fucking year. And Fields was struggling. I don't know if it's because it's the O-line or whatever. I don't know, but I was kind of shocked to see how Love kind of got struggled, and then he found his bearings. He got his bearings, and he hit the ground running, and they made it to the playoffs, you know? And why can't that shit happen here in Chicago?
Yeah, we'll just have to see. I mean, we're going to have a new offensive coordinator, so we'll have to see how the offensive changes. Whether it's Fields or Williams, it's the start of a new regime for new offensive play style. So, I don't know. I feel bad for Fields. He's had like two or three different offensive coordinators. So, how can you really get your footing if things keep changing?
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I'm excited to see if they do start stringing together some wins and maybe they get that funding to get that stadium in Arlington Heights.
Oh, they even fucked that up, it looks like. I don't want to get into that, but they are, yeah, it's stupid. Now they're like, we're going to go back to Chicago and like, whatever. it's another long, typical Bears bullshit. Maybe they should sell them the McCaskies. But anyways, that's a topic for another show. Let's roll on to, I think we got a good article of the week this week, so let's go into that. So, me and Danny are homeowners. Noel, maybe he's saving to be a homeowner. I don't know.
Yeah, man, I hope in this lifetime I can get one.
And with the way pricing is, and I've been by house hunting and everything is going smoothly with that. I never knew this, and when I saw this article, I'm like, wow, I'm trying to remember if I ever saw this. So when you go to people's houses, did you ever see houses that have Eagle plaques on them? And that actually has a meaning. Did you guys know that, or do you ever seen a house with Eagle plaques in your life that you can remember?
And I'm really trying to think about it, and I don't think so, man. I don't recall, at least.
Yeah, I've seen houses with this Eagle plaque thing, and I've seen even like YouTubers use this symbolic looking eagle, but I never knew what it meant before. Yeah. And Alana typically asked me like, hey, what's your article of the week this week? And I brought up this a day or so ago, and she's just like, yeah, I've seen houses like that before, but I never knew what they meant. I just figured they were like a patriot or something.
Yeah, so that has a meaning, like, and we're older, and I didn't know this. So in the article there goes, there are 81 and a half owner-occupied homes in America, and they think more than 31 million do not have a mortgage, means the house is paid off. While it's something to celebrate today, becoming mortgage-free was once notable, so notable that people would adorn their homes with a symbol that let everyone know they were free of debt. And that eagle, was it called the Freedom Flyer Eagle, and people would put it on their doors. They also say this may be a wood, cast iron, bronze, or another darker metal that could be found above garages and front doors alike. You might have thought it was something patriotic, but as many have inferred by now that the answer is about halfway accurate. To better understand, you have to go back 70 years. Talking about World War II, the GI Bill, people got help for schooling, insurance, and housing. So when people got paid off their mortgages, they would hang an eagle plaque above their front doors, garages, to signify they were free from debt, he explains. The decor sometimes was known as a freedom flyer. The tradition continued for decades, but then history is a bit murky and it has been mostly lost to time. And it goes into statistics about homeowners now, like 2 in 5 homeowners are mortgage free. The bit highest state with the where people own their homes where they're completely free is in West Virginia. It's 53%, which is astonishing to me. But going back to that, I was like, man, like I would get that, but I think people it got lost in time because credit got so cheap, you know, the interest rate, and people would just refinance their money in their loans to take money out of it. And people would just, I think they just got used to paying those payments. And of course, people older generation, they were more considerate about debt and all that because the way their parents grew up with people losing their homes and the depression, and they all grew up poor. So they knew if I pay this house off, nobody can take it from me. So once you pay off your house, then you're going to get this Freedom Flyer Eagle, man.
Heck yeah, man. I'm going to get this thing. I'm going to order it now just to have it ready.
It's a motivation.
Yeah. I mean, I hope to pay off my house, hopefully in my lifetime for sure. But yeah, it would definitely be one of those things that would be like a badge of honor. This is my first home. So, I mean, it definitely be something to accomplish. Andy, if you've had three homes, have you ever bought this Eagle? Or I can't even remember if you said that you even seen these before.
I've never seen them. If I really think I might have seen, like, over a garage, no, I've never seen that. I've seen something maybe similar on doors, but I really paid no attention to it. But then I saw that the picture they have of what, like, the one they would put. I maybe seen something like that as like a thing to knock, you know. Not that I could recall. I really started thinking about it. I've never seen it, and that's why I'm like so fascinated by it. Like it's something that old back in the day, that like something so fucking American to me. Like I paid off my house, they celebrate by putting this, and then people would drive or walk and see like, oh, this guy paid his house off, like. That's so far, like, it's nice, you know, it's like a big accomplishment today. I don't think people think like that. They think you're always going to have a mortgage and credit card bills and car payments. It's just a part of life now. And
I wonder if people don't do this anymore because they're like, man, if I put this up, people will be like, man, let's go steal on this guy. He got money.
I think, well, like you said, we didn't know about it. So now you're going to be looking out and you're going to be thinking like, oh, yeah, this motherfucker got it like that. Let's go fuck him up. But I think it's mostly forgotten. I didn't know about it. And I'm 46 years old and I didn't know about this. So, I mean, it's pretty cool. I'm hoping to get something like that. But I don't know. I think with this new house, I don't know if I'm going to be able to pay it off in 30 years because I don't think I'm going to be around, to be honest with you. So maybe my wife might get to hang it.
Right. But I mean, you got to remember where we came from, or at least I'll speak for myself. It's like a middle to lower class environment. So a lot of people in those settings don't have the ability to finish paying off their houses. Now, I'm sure if you go to some of the upper class areas, you'll probably see those Eagles flying everywhere. So maybe it depends on where you grew up in and if you're able to do it at all, you know.
No, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, it comes down to the economy throughout the decades, and like I think in the '70s with their inflation they had back in the day, you know, that's probably one of like the first time where the country kind of struggled economically coming out of World War II since the Great Depression. So that's why kind of like people just it got lost throughout time because. We really recovered. It's a roller coaster now. It's like highs and lows. It's nothing that been like consistent. It's always like these crazy highs and these crazy low. And like I said, today people just think like you're always gonna have a mortgage. Nobody thinks about paying off the mortgage now. I mean, when you talk about it, it's a part of what you're an adult and you have a mortgage. You're always going to have it. Like nobody, I think, buys a house with the mindset, I'm going to pay this off.
Yeah, for sure. I think it's just something that
you just feel like you're always going to owe somebody something, and yes, you're never going to be like debt free. So it probably is like a feeling that you just carry forever.
You know, unfortunately, like, even when you pay off your house, you know, recently I saw someone talking about this, that it feels like we're always renting, because even when you pay off your house, you still have to pay something to the government every year with your property taxes. And if at any point in time you don't pay those property taxes, the government could be like, all right, it's our house now. So it's technically always feels like it's like you're renting the property, you know?
No, for sure. Yeah. And even when the person passes away and leaves it for their kid, there's the death tax now. And a lot of people end up losing houses because they can't afford to pay the death tax. They kind of mentioned that, speaking earlier, the Bears, that when Virginia McCaskey passes away, that the family might not even have enough money to pay to maintain ownership of the Chicago Bears. They might have to sell it and go off to somebody else.
Yeah, I heard there's like ways around that now, but I mean, you probably have to talk to Trump about that, you know, see what loopholes he can find for you.
For sure, for sure. But guys, if there's any lawyers out there, send in those emails, ffnquestions@gmail.com. Let us know how to work around these things. But that's about all we have for today. We'd like to thank you all for listening. Remember to follow Freeform Network on X at Freeform Network. Those questions, ffnquestions@gmail.com. Visit that webpage, freeformnetwork.podbean.com. There you're going to see all of our links, all of our latest episodes, even all the legacy stuff. It's all in there for your enjoyment. And hit that like and subscribe button. It really helps the numbers and helps us go closer to the top. But for Freeform Radio, we got Noel.
Yep, yep. Thank you very much for listening, everybody.
And we got Andy.
So good, Andy. I want to thank you guys for listening, and we'll talk to you next time.
Yes, sir, man. Thank you all for listening. We really enjoy all the fellowship and people coming together, sending in questions, and following us for all these years. We hope to keep it going, man. Thank you.
That was cool, Dad.